This is the FCB Podcast Network.
Without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and bring on my guest. I have with me a content creator, Second Amendment supporter, the lovely Rhonda Mary. Welcome to the program, sister.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. I've actually been wanting to do this for a long time. I just haven't gotten around to it. But I've been seeing you out there. You're doing a lot of stuff. I see you on Instagram all the time. So it's good stuff. And I started following you probably like a couple of years ago, so I've kind of seen how you've grown since then. So it's been nice to see.
Thank you. It's been a really interesting journey.
The life of a content creator is very interesting, definitely. but before we get into everything, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, what you're about, all that good stuff.
So, hey, y'all. My name is Rhonda Mary. I am a Second Amendment advocate. Like he already said, YouTuber. That was such a great introduction. I really don't need to rehash that part. But anyway, I started off as a YouTuber talking about political and social topics. And as I was learning more about American history, civics, civil rights, Black American history, and all these other things, I was just becoming more open to like the Constitution and what the life of an American citizen is allegedly supposed to
right.
Live. And, you know, the freedom and everything that comes with that. And so I had already kind of become open to the idea of gun ownership, but I wasn't a gun owner. And around that same time, simultaneously, I think this was maybe a year or so into YouTube, it may have been shorter. I was in a hit and run / road rage incident where an irate driver basically tried to push my car off the road in a frenzy, ended up like crashing and damaging my bumper and all this other crazy stuff. And I was going like well over 70 miles per hour on the road. And
right.
I wasn't going fast enough for him, and he pushed me off the road, and at some point we both pulled over, and this is at a point where I was completely just naive. It's just all vibes. It's not about safety or being in your, you know, logical thinking. And you know, he was just very irate and was cussing me out and saying all this crazy stuff. And it's like a light switch went off and it's like, girl, like this man could have ended you on the side of this road. Like, you know, for you to even let it get this far. And the respondent officer just happened to be a young Black woman. And I was telling her about what was going on. And she was like, girl, you didn't have a gun. And, you know, I was like, no, like I can do that. Like that's like a thing for real. I could just be out here trying to defend my life. And a week or two later, I went and got my first firearm. And then as I started learning more about it, I'm like, I got to tell other people about this because I don't want people out here feeling how I feel. And so I just kind of started sharing that journey and talking to people more about it. And a lot of people were really, really responsive. And so I just kind of started mixing that in with what I was already doing.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be a chilling situation. I mean, a lot of times when people get guns, it's because they anticipate something that might happen. But then there are also people who get one because something does happen and they realize that they were defenseless. And so they don't want to have that happen again.
Believe it or not, I think it's the opposite for, I would say, most of the people outside of the And this may be a little stereotypical. I may even be wrong on this front as well. But I do think that you have a lot of the white, older male population that is kind of like, especially when you're in certain parts of the country, right?
Right.
It's kind of bred into them like, this is our God-given right. Whereas I think a lot of people outside of that demographic, especially like through media and Hollywood and you know, public schools, we're kind of almost taught to be anti-gun from the jump. Or only look at it as if it's for certain people. And I think a lot of people outside of that demographic, unfortunately, you do have something that happens to them negatively. And then they're like, oh, let me now go get protection, right? The lady off of The View, she was even one of those. Well, I don't think anything negatively happened to her. I think it was just what she was maybe seeing or like seeing in the neighborhood. Cheryl... I can't think of her last name right now, but I think she was recently on the show. And, you know, she was saying how she went and got a firearm just because of everything she was seeing. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate that it has to be like that. And if I can help and prevent people from having to go through a negative experience, because you don't want something bad to happen, and then you have to learn them back in. Unfortunately, unfortunately, and kind of fortunately, I've been able to meet some people that don't have the best stories. You know, I've met women that have been raped or taken advantage of. I met one woman whose fiance or husband was killed right in front of her, you know, and to see them go get armed after that, if I can help spark as much curiosity, knowledge, safety, understanding, and kind of spark some of these conversations, I want to be that person to help more people come open to this idea before anything bad happens to them.
Right. Yeah, it's important. I mean, and I think you're right about what you were saying. I mean, there are different reasons why people will get into guns. Like you said, living in certain parts of the country is just part of life. They want to exercise their Second Amendment right and that kind of thing. I mean, and for me, I was born and raised in Southern California, not very gun friendly. And I was never against guns, but it never would have even occurred to me to become a gun owner myself. That didn't happen until later in life. I never, like, if you would have asked me when I was in my early 20s if I would ever own a gun, I'd be like, no, why would I do that? But then, you know, as I learn more, I'm like, you know, why wouldn't I? I mean, because you just never know what's going to happen. And plus, there's also the fun side of it, too. I like shooting. I like going to the range and all that stuff. So I think everybody has a different journey. But I wanted to ask you, what made you want to become a content creator in the first place? Like what pushed you into that space?
It was a mixture of things. So, first of all, this was back in the day. I would have friends that would tell me, oh, you should do YouTube for hair. You should do YouTube for makeup and all these other things. And I would think like, no, that's just not my thing. Like, I'm really not into that. And as time went on, like, this was back in the day when I was on Facebook, and I would talk about these different topics that were viral, and I wasn't trying to be controversial, but sometimes people would take it like that. And I just had this really silly idea that if I said it in longer format, people would be like, oh, I get you now. Now I agree with you. But that certainly was not the case. It doesn't matter what format you're saying it in, if it's Twitter or if you go on to say, oh, let me explain this, you know, in this longer format, this 40-minute YouTube video, if it goes outside of any level of the mainstream media narrative, a lot of times you're just going to have a lot of pushback. And so, I don't know, I had friends that kind of were in my ear, just kind of hyping me up to do it. And it took a minute. It, like, took a minute because, you know, when you're a YouTuber, or no, not even when you're just a YouTuber, when you're starting at something new, a lot of people stress the details. You know, how does my lighting look? How does my background look? I remember when I first started, I seen these YouTubers that would have like these shiny, sparkly backgrounds behind them. So I went to like, I don't know, Joanne or some type of like store you get fabric and stuff like this. And I hung this shiny background up behind me. And I remember I finally felt like I did everything right. I got my camera set up. I got my lighting set up. And I sat there, and I think I did maybe like a 30-minute video. And when I went to watch the video back, half of my background was like off the wall.
Oh, no.
I remember being so depressed. I was like, oh my God. I was just super annoying. I was just like, I'm just over it. I just don't want to do this. I'm just so over it. My friend was like, no, Ronnie, you got to do it. You're so dope. People are going to love you. He's like, let me see it. And he tried to talk me into posting it like that. And I'm like, I just can't do it. And so a few days later, I worked up the guts and I recorded something again, which was, needless to say, much shorter. But, you know, and it's an entire journey, because what I learned from that is sometimes you just got to go for it when stuff is not perfect. And then also, it's going to be people that are going to ride with you that love to see that journey and your change and your progression. Like, even now, so this is like my new office, and finally, I have a better camera, I have better lighting, I have my mic, but this ain't all that right now. But people are going to see it evolve and grow over time. But, I mean, I've been in some of my videos, my bedroom used to be in the background, and just all kind of stuff. So it changes. It changes.
It's an evolution.
Yes, absolutely. And people will love that they kind of get to go on that journey with you. And you'll have people, I remember when you had 1,500 followers. I was your 1,501 follower, you know, so.
Yeah, it's been nice to see the evolution. I mean, and it's crazy how it works. I mean, it's a slog. I mean, it takes time. But you can, when you look back, you can see where you were and where you are now, and it's great. So when you do content on guns, because I see a lot of your stuff on Instagram, and you have these little short videos about, you know, women owning guns and why they should, and you know, tips on how to carry and all that stuff. What kind of response do you get from that as a woman being in the space? Because usually it's a lot of dudes in the gun world, and it's especially when it comes to content. What's the response been to you as a woman?
So initially, when I started doing gun content, I had a bigger following of guys, and you probably don't know this about me. This is a little tidbit, but before that, my content was mostly geared towards, at least as Instagram goes, was mostly geared towards like fitness and health and stuff like that. And so I kind of like, you know, started switching and introducing some of this gun content and stuff like that. And so initially I had a large male following, and now I'm nearly at like 50-50 male and 50-50
really
female, and it's so exciting to me. And if you know anything about like algorithms and metrics, most people, especially when you're dealing with like politics and pretty much anything outside of, and not to sound stereotypical, but outside of like hair, like beauty,
right,
we're gonna have a larger male following. That's just most people. That's for, it doesn't matter if it's a male commentator or a female, it just tends to weigh. Even if you look at YouTube numbers, like I said, if you're anything outside of beauty, a lot of times, you know, male viewership is really high on YouTube and stuff like that. And so initially when I started it, you know, I didn't get a lot of the response that I thought I wanted from women. Like, I'm like, no, I need to make this better. I need to, you know, attract more women. And so I started making everything prettier, honestly. I started making everything prettier, flirtier, like makeup, wearing these cute dresses. And your girl been cute now. Like, don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. Yeah. But, you do it up a little bit. You doll it up a little bit more. I started giving safety tips that were outside of the gun, right? Because sometimes women are scared of the gun. They're not ready to work up to that. So I'll say, this is how you use flashlight. This is what you do when you're traveling, you know, and those type of tips. This is what you should do when you enter your home at night, and tips that have absolutely nothing to do with a firearm, because it can be a little intimidating. It can be a little scary, and it kind of brings them in a little bit. They say, okay, I like this tip. Let me see a little bit more what she's talking about. And then that kind of reels them in. And I saw my demographics starting to change. And I'm like, okay, this is good. I'm getting to the money now. So like this is good.
Good. Yeah, and I want to talk about women buying more firearms. But before I go there, you mentioned that, you know, sometimes it's intimidating. Now, when I've heard from men and they kind of tell me about what made them buy a gun or what was making them hesitant, I mean, they're really, it was just mainly like they just weren't sure if they needed it. But when it comes to women, what would you say is like the number one, two, or three reasons why they might be thinking about it, but they're hesitant to actually make that step of buying a firearm?
Because of all the negative stereotypes that people put into their heads about firearms and about owning firearms. Mm. This is so popular, and it's so, let me explain it first and then I'll just talk about it a little bit more. A lot of times when you have women that are in abusive relationships, or maybe they live in not the best of areas and they're thinking about getting firearms, one of the first things you'll have people say, this is way more common than it should be, and it's actually very icky, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that, oh, if you use this firearm, well, that firearm is more likely to be turned on you.
Right, I've heard that.
Used to kill you, okay? Now, that completely negates the fact that a lot of times we do not hear the success stories, the overcomer stories, these stories about women defending their tools with defending their lives with these tools, right?
You have, yeah, which happens a lot more often than the other
one. We have hundreds of thousands, I think, what between 300,000 to 1 million each year, mm-hmm, of firearms saving lives, okay? A huge part of gun violence, or quote unquote gun violence statistics, are suicides. And so, mm-hmm, it's just so much. I don't like this idea that women are supposed to be so empowered, so strong, so independent. And then as soon as we get into talking about defending your life, which matters more than anything, people talk about defending their peace and keeping their peace and all this. Mm. You don't have peace if you don't have life. And so I hate that we've moved into discouraging women. Like, if we're going to be empowered, let's be empowered all around. It's not time to cower when it comes to our safety. That is not the time to be like, oh, now it's time to depend on a man or the goodwill of this man that I don't know and really doesn't owe me anything. And so if anything, to be empowered means to be able to defend something that should mean the most to us, to our families, our community, our children, and that's our livelihood. And so I hope that so many women are discouraged from that. And I think it's on purpose. I think it's on purpose. I saw a tweet recently that this did numbers on my Instagram, where I can't remember verbatim what the guy said, but he was responding to this woman who said that she deserves to defend her life from assault or attack. And his response was, you know, I find it funny that you rather sit in jail for 20 to 25 years than let a guy take advantage of you.
When I saw that tweet, Rhonda, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? This has got to be a troll. Like, this guy can't be real. Like, what kind of dumbass tweet is that?
This is what I'm telling you. There are people out here that actually think like that. They think that, like, your highest alignment should be to defend yourself, defend your life, defend your family and your children. Some people think that you don't deserve that. They don't think you are deserving of that. They think that criminals, rapists, and I'm not going to call this guy a rapist, but he's definitely on the side of the rapist.
When if he's saying stuff like that, he is. Even if he doesn't intend to be, he is.
When you think that I should just succumb, mm-hmm, to a rapist, you rather that than me having to explain to a jury or the police why I defended my life. And not to even mention that a woman doesn't know, as she being raped, that the next step isn't murder. You don't know that. You don't know that. Are we really thinking that we can already see that a rapist, the moral fiber is not there? So to even assume that you couldn't potentially murder me is just a ridiculous concept in itself. I believe that a person that is willing to violently rape and attack somebody is willing to do pretty much anything. You obviously aren't worried about the consequences. And so we need to stop trying to scare women into being vulnerable. Who wins from that? Evil men. Good men don't win from that, and women surely don't. And so if we really want not only people to be held accountable, swift consequences, you should have to know if you intend to hurt children and women, and not to leave men out too, because don't get me wrong, I don't think that men are just disposable. I don't think that men should have to submit their lives to others or bad people either.
They're bad men.
However, absolutely. However, if you have a culture or society that is not protecting children and women, what does that say about that society?
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis and FCB Radio Podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's so much in what you just said. And it reminded me of a story that a good friend of mine told me, that his dad told him about a situation where he has a gun, and somebody wanted to rob him for his wallet. And the guy, I think he had a knife or something like that. And he had like $20. And so he just gave him the $20 and let him go, because he didn't want to have to potentially kill somebody over $20. But that's far different from what you were describing. I mean, if it's a situation where you're a woman and somebody's trying to rape you or rob you, you don't know what they're going to do. And that tweet pissed me off, because I know that probably convinced or made women, at least some women, more afraid. It reaffirmed that message. And when you were talking about empowering women, that was deep, because you're right. The same people who say they want women to be empowered in every other area of their life are somehow against the idea of a woman being empowered to defend herself. They're always like, oh, women don't need a man. They don't need a man, but don't get a gun. Well, I mean, if there's a man after you, I'm sorry. Like, he's going to win unless you have a gun. So that's not empowering. That's disempowering. And it's a really sick message if you think about it.
It's really sick and depraved. And when you really think about it, it also insinuates that, oh, if you just submit, if you just succumb, everything will be all right. It'll turn out right. But we know that oftentimes, more times than not, right? Let's say if you are being abducted and this man tries to put you in a car or put you into the trunk, the chances of you ever returning home is literally slim to none. Slim to none. If you ever let someone take you to a second location, that is one of the worst things you can ever do, right?
Right.
But you have so many people that think, oh, well, if I just do this, if I just go this far, but you don't know how far that other person is willing to take it. You do not know. You do not know. And to insinuate, oh, if you just go along with it, it'll stop there. It'll end there. That's not always how it works. And like you said, I'm glad you made the distinction. You know, if you see that this person, oh, they're trying to just get $20, they're just trying to take my purse and go, you know, that's a different thing from, don't get me wrong, you can still be traumatized by that. But when we're literally talking about taking someone's body, right, that can lead to a lifelong time of stress, trauma, PTSD. I mean, possibly taking the ability for this person to have children, all the other things, STDs, and every other thing that could come with that, that people just think, oh, just give them the 5 minutes, the 7 minutes, and you'll get past it. But that can lead to a lifelong time of like heartbreak and just and stress and everything else that's related to that.
Yeah, so in light of that, I want to get into the good part, because gun sales are skyrocketing. I think in June, it hit gun sales exceeded a million purchases. And that was for the, I think it was the 35th month in a row. And a lot of these new gun buyers are women, Black women specifically. And I'm seeing more Black women and women in general taking that step. I mean, it's funny, because when I first got my gun, I was talking to my mom about it, and she was terrified, because remember, we're from Southern California, and she was like, well, why do you need a gun? And I kind of gave her my reasons why, but I also assured her that I'd be safe and went over all that stuff. About 8 months later, she's like, okay, I want to get a gun. I didn't even try to convince her, but now she's ready. So why do you think so many more women are willing to become gun owners nowadays?
Because they're seeing it. They're seeing it more. They're seeing it from people like me and several others, don't get me wrong, who are sharing these stories. You have different organizations that are reaching the people that are making it way more popular, way more common, way more everyday, you know, and some people are really becoming open to the idea. And also, I think that COVID and the COVID lockdowns and just everything surrounding that time opened people's eyes to just a different realm, right? When you literally have police departments making statements like, yeah, we're, you know, unless this is life-threatening, we're not coming. Well, something can go from not life-threatening to life-threatening literally in seconds.
In seconds.
You know? Yeah. And so I think so many people seeing that, like, nobody's coming to save you. Even if they're coming to save you, they're not obligated to save you. You don't know if they're going to get there in enough time. Crime is swift. It happens fast. Violence is swift. It happens fast, right? I think you had people see firsthand the violence and crime that was increasing in their neighborhoods when you're allowing people to mask their identities. And all these other things that just, you had people losing their jobs. All these things are going to translate into more crime, right? Right. A lot of people got more time on their hands, more people to take advantage of, and all these other things. And so I think that that unique set of circumstances kind of propelled a lot of women to be more open to the idea of becoming armed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a good reason, but I mean, it's good that it's happening, because it is important. So for women who are thinking about getting a gun, or maybe they've already made the decision and they know they want to get one and they want to get into this world, I mean, well, what advice would you have for a woman who's, because I think it's different from men, but for women, what tips would you give them when it comes to getting a gun and carrying and all that stuff?
First of all, I would say you definitely need to get trained. You know, save the money, find the money, put a little bit of money back, and a few times out of a year, try to go to a really good training where you can learn more. Also, there's tons of information that is available by way of your smartphone. You know, we have access to a lot of information, but that hands-on training, you want to be prepared and you want to be proficient and you want to understand the law. It is so important. Getting a firearm is not enough, okay? Every year, like clockwork, there are sisters all across the country who shoot that firearm in the air because of an attacker, a previous abuser, or whatever the case may be. They shoot that firearm in the air, letting off rounds. The police either find out or they call the police unknowingly that they have now broken the law. And now they almost, I mean, literally become a criminal just like that. something so simple, right? Because of our misunderstanding, our lack of knowledge. We see these things on TV, or we'll hear like somebody like Joe Biden or somebody say, shoot him in the leg, or send him a warning shot. Yeah. You know, we're very, very miseducated or behind the eight ball in a lot of ways. And that is solved through knowledge and education. The entire point of the firearm is to protect and defend life, not to become a criminal or end up behind bars when no actual crime was committed. And when I say crime, that may sound a little weird, but I'll say like violent crime. And you know, it's almost a way to feed into what we don't want to do. We don't want to feed into the beast of the system, right?
Sure.
We don't want to not know the laws, and now you don't know about the proper storage, how you should be traveling, if this is a duty to retreat state, you know, that you shouldn't be shooting in the air, like a duty to notify state, like all the different things that go into it that can mean a prison sentence for you when it doesn't have to be. So getting the firearm alone is just simply not enough. And we don't want to further a problem, especially in these deep blue cities that are already anti-gun. They're not going to favor you.
They'll favor your attacker more than they favor you.
They're going to favor, and it's sad. It's sad to say, and even if we want to get into that conversation, that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, it's unfortunate that a lot of times the person that was attempting to commit the crime, the attacker, you know, it may be more favorable than it comes to you being negligent with that firearm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we saw what happened with, I can't remember his name, but the guy in New York City at the bodega, and he didn't use a gun, but this guy was clearly attacking him, and he stabbed him in self-defense, and he was going to face a murder charge. I mean, luckily, I mean, there was enough pressure for the DA to, you know, stop being a moron, but he could have gone to jail for doing what all of us would do, defending himself.
And
I mean, it's crazy.
And imagine how many faceless people face that same fate every day. That their story didn't happen to go viral, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are real things. Those are real issues. And we don't want people to have to face that and be taken away from their families and lose their jobs and things like this. We want to know people. We want people to know what they're up against and what they're dealing with when they're owning and using these tools.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the thing is, you can even do everything right, like he did, and still face a charge. I mean, that's why they have a carry insurance. I have that insurance just in case something pops off. Even if I do everything right, I still want to be covered legally, because depending on where you live, you've got these DAs who want to make an example of you. They don't like the idea of people defending themselves or the good guy with a gun that they say doesn't exist, but the data shows that it does. There's a lot to think about. I mean, it's a training, it's covering yourself legally. And, you know, and I say these things, and I don't want to intimidate people into thinking that, oh, it's just such a life change that I shouldn't do it. No, it's a change. And I want to get into an aspect of that in a second, but it's worth it. I was talking to Rick Green about this. I mean, when you carry, your life from when you don't carry to where you start carrying, you do things differently. You wear different clothes. You operate differently. You have to be aware of more things. So when it comes to carrying, like, it's, for women, it's different from men. So I know women have a harder time of it. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
So when I originally started carrying my firearm, I had guys who would tell me, oh, you got to change how you dress. You got to wear bigger shirts. You got to dress bulkier. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the way. Like, you just got to do it. You just got to accept it. And I was, you know, against that idea. I was in opposition to that. I didn't believe that to carry this tool, I have to fundamentally change, you know, the way that I look on a day to day. And so I was determined to find ways, find products on the market that would fit my style, that would fit the way I like to dress and I like to be comfortable. And that's what I did. And I think that that's another reason why what we're seeing with the numbers of women who are becoming gun owners, and I see that reflected in my local gun shop, because now they're hiring more women to work behind the counter and stuff like that. And I think that because the gun industry has been so male dominated, I think that you have a lot of men that don't necessarily have bad intentions, but I think that they don't really understand, or they don't really care that women face a unique set of problems when it comes to trying to conceal carry. I don't want to look frumpy. I don't want to look dressed like a grandma. I don't want to dress like I'm from the middle of Utah. Like, that's just not the vibe. I'm just not into it. So I think that if we want to make women understand that this is something that could work for them, we have to make it fit them. It's like, what's really good about going to trainings and working with different firearm instructors is they can give you tips, right? Mm-hmm. They can help you kind of craft these ideas and these plans and tell you the best things, and most of all, make sure that you're safe. But this is still a kind of unique and personal journey. Some things that work for me may not work for you. Some things that work for you, I'm like, okay, I see what she's doing over there. I like that. Let me see how I can use that or use that to my benefit. And so the part of it being a unique journey is a big part of it.
Yeah, it definitely is. So I wanted to find out, I mean, before we sign off, what else do you have going on with your channel? Do you have something in the works, or?
Yes. So I'm actually working on content now to help not just women, but everybody who are kind of like me, who came in a game, you know, that don't have prior military background, don't have veteran family members, didn't go hunting with their grandpa when they were 3 years old. Kind of help those people on their journey and give them a little bit more guidance, especially when the resources, you know, may be lacking. I know that sometimes when you're looking for information, a way that information is disseminated across the internet can be a little tough to get. Like, I just want to get right to the nitty gritty. This is the answer I need. This is what I'm trying to get to. So I'm working on a solution for that. So hopefully in the next couple months, you guys will see me promoting that and trying to get that word out. But that's mostly what I've been focused on right now, and just trying to get the word out more, trying to spread the message, and not only just about gun ownership, especially as it relates to the Black community. One thing I think we shouldn't forget to do is leave out the political side of this. It's one thing to be able to defend your life, and it's super important. But if your great great grandkids aren't going to have those same rights, or they're potentially under threat because we aren't learning civics, we don't know what's due to us as American citizens and all these other things, then, you know, that's a concern that we should have, and that's important. But that's a whole nother conversation that we could save for another day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I do talk about that a lot, but I'd love to get more of your perspective on that. So we got to do this again. But you're doing a great job. I mean, I see your stuff all the time, so I'm really excited about what you're doing, and I'll be looking forward to what you do with this new project as well. But before we go, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you?
So you can find me on YouTube, Rhonda Mary. I'm on Instagram, Rhonda_Mary, Rhonda Mary Vids. And on Twitter, I am Rhonda Mary. It's some version of Rhonda Mary. You will find me. Y'all, I have been kicked off of these platforms. I'll sneak back home and all kind of stuff. So it's some version of Rhonda Mary out there, and you'll find me.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for joining me, and I'll look forward to having you back on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.